All right. We're going to be looking at Psalm 118, verses 1 through 9. With a bunch of stuff going on in our lives, in my life, I kept hearing pastor say, don't put your trust in man. Don't put your trust in man. Trust in the Lord. Don't put your trust in man. Trust in the Lord. And the reason is, as wretched sinners without Christ, we fail all the time. And if you put your trust in man, you're going to fail. I have failed the Lord miserably time after time. I have failed my wife. I have failed my children. I have failed you all. I failed everybody. And I ask for forgiveness from the Lord and from my wife and my children and you all. And thank you that God has saved so many of us here, and pray that He continues. We're going to look at that's what got me going into a deep dive into the Scriptures to find what the Lord says about trusting in the Lord and not trusting in man. And being led to Psalm 118, 1 through 9, we're going to touch down on a little bit of it today. The first verse says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." Steadfast being dutifully or full of duty and unwavering love. God gave Himself that duty to love us that are called to be His, and He does it forever with no no reproach. He never says, "I'm done with you. You have messed up too many times." Thank the Lord for that. It says, "Let Israel say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His steadfast love endures forever." House of Aaron being here, biblical name, family of the Israelite priests ordained by God to serve Him. And Spurgeon said about the house of Aaron that these were specifically set apart for God's service and therefore should be the first ones to give special praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And then continued saying, anyone set apart for God's service should be praising the Lord and giving thanks and be the first one out there with the loudest battle cry, with the boldness to stand firm on His word and give Him thanks for His steadfast love that endures forever, that will never go away. He continues to say, "Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear." The Lord is on my side. Not my fellow men. Not a cavalry. Not the best generals. Not the best military. The Lord is on my side. That is why I will not fear. For what can man do to me? Except send me to the Lord quicker. Man cannot do anything to you outside of the Lord and His will and Him allowing it to happen to you. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. You know, over 365 times the Lord tells us not to fear. He must mean business. Do not fear. I will not fear because the Lord is on my side. The Lord is on my side as my helper. We add on to that. The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall not look in triumph on those who hate me. He's my helper. He's God Almighty. And he looks down at this miserable, ill-deserving, wretched sinner and helps me. I don't know what I would do or where I would be if I was not saved, if I was not a Christian, if the Lord was not helping me every step of the way. I couldn't do my job without Him. I couldn't raise a family without Him. I couldn't be married without Him. I couldn't do anything well without Him. He is helping all of us in here. Breathe, walk, eat, chew, make right decisions, do anything right. It's all of God. It's all Him. He gets all of the glory. You get nothing. And praise the Lord for that. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Verse 8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Refuge being the shelter for protection we can go to. It is unbreakable. John MacArthur said, the Lord's refuge has never been broken into and never will. He said, when I was visiting my football coach, I didn't know John MacArthur played football. He said, when I was visiting my football coach in the hospital, he looked down the hall. He said, Johnny Mac, come here. I don't think anybody in his congregation calls him Johnny Mac, but his football coach was able to. And he said, give me some good advice, Johnny Mac, after I've given you all these good advice all these years. He said, stay within the refuge of the Lord. He will keep you safe. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better for the Lord to protect you than to trust what man is going to do, what the best that man can do. And one step further, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes, royalty, wealthy people. This piece of scripture probably does not get proclaimed and preached in many churches today. It's not well looked upon except in places like us, places like here. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Why should we not trust in man or in princes? We're going to look at that. And then we're going to look at why we should trust in God, why we should trust in the Lord. Why should we not trust in man and princes? You guys are all wonderful. That's my opinion. The Lord has had a different opinion. When He looked down, He did not see wonderfulness. He did not see anything good. That takes us to Romans 3. He didn't see anything worth loving. We didn't do anything worth salvation. But I think you're wonderful. So why shouldn't we trust in man? Romans 3:10 through 18 gives us a little taste of a reason. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside together, they have become worthless. We're not holding back punches here. Worthless. You're not worth a thing. You don't seek after God. You don't understand His words. You don't care. You're not righteous. No, not even one. No one does good. No, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongue to deceive. The venom of asp is under their lips. I really, growing up, even going to church before I was saved, I had this big problem. I deceived people. I was a deceiver. I wanted to impress people and stretch the truth of what really happened. And people, I wanted people to be like, ooh, ah. That was the venom. It was for no good, except for my own doing. The venom of ass under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Without fear of God, we can't know His Word. We can't know His wisdom. We have no peace. But let's also go to Colossians 3. I know that Romans, that is man under sin or being controlled by sin. Not knowing God, we are wretched human beings. We want nothing to do with God or His ways. So He couldn't have looked down and saw anything good in us because there wasn't anything good to see. And yet He sent His Son anyway to die for us wretched sinners who hated Him. Who would have spit in His face. Who would have been shouting with the masses, crucify Him. So how about Colossians 3, 5 through 10? The putting on your new self section of Colossians. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. The Creator Jesus, Lord God, after His image. Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave, free, but Christ in all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones. You ready? Put on then as God's chosen ones, as His elect, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Isn't that beautiful? And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. I wonder if we do that. I know I don't every day. I miss that point. I miss that boat. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. I miss that point. I'm not praising Him like I should be praising Him. I'm not giving Him thanksgiving like I should be giving Him thanksgiving. Getting me to work. I get to work every morning. I praise Him for getting me to work. And I praise the Lord for that. That He gave me that ability to praise Him. That foresight to praise Him for getting to work okay. And as soon as the first thing happens, the thankfulness and the praises kind of go to the side. I'm like, Lord, not this again. Not this again. But that's not what it says. It says, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching you and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That's what we should be doing. You know what came before that? The putting to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. We got to do that so we can praise Him and have the Word of Christ dwell in us richly and teaching us and giving us His wisdom and singing these hymns. We can't be holding on to the fleshly desires and the earthly wants and needs and have one foot in the world and then say, but I'm still a Christian. That's why it says, put to death, therefore, in earth what is earthly in you, the sexual immorality, the impurity, the passion, the evil desire, the covetousness, which is idolatry. On the account of these, the wrath of God is coming, and these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. You must put them all away. He continues, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of his creator, of the Creator. We put that stuff away. We don't need to pick it up again. What we need is what we read after that. We need to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. We need to be thankful. We need the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching us and admonishing us and one another in all wisdom, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God, not to each other, but to God, because it is God that allows anything good to happen through us. That's why we don't trust in man. Because, and these are just short lists of how awful, wretched, ill-deserving sinners we are apart from Christ. We would be in hell. We certainly wouldn't be here. The book of His Holy Word wouldn't be opened. We would have no desire to be here. That's why you don't trust in man. Because he will fail you every time. Apart from Christ. Okay. But we're made in His image. So why should we trust in God? Why trust in the Lord? Go with me to Acts 17, 24 and 25. We'll go here and we got one more piece of scripture. Okay. Acts 17:24 and 25. The God who made the world and everything in it, being the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives all mankind life and breath and everything. He didn't need a thing. The Creator, the God, the Almighty, the Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was not in need of human beings. He wasn't in need of anything. He had perfect union and harmony within the Godhead of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And yet, for His glory, He Himself gives all mankind life and breath and everything. Can you live very long without breath? No. No, you'd be dead. He gives us everything. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. He gives us everything. He gives us our car. He gives us our sandwich. He gives us glasses to read the Word of God. He gives us our crutches and wheelchairs when we need them. He gives us successful surgeries and doctors. He gives us everything. And if He didn't give it, we don't need it. I'm learning that. He gives us everything. We don't have a home of our own, but we have our loving brothers and sisters who have provided a place of shelter for us because God is so good. We don't know where, we may not know where or how we're going to feed our family, but God provides enough for us to sit down and have a meal every evening together. We pray about our vehicles. But God allows us safely to make it everywhere we go and gets us back safely. He gives us and provides everything. It is He that is so good, not ourselves. That's the first piece of Scripture we go to of reason why we can all put our trust in Him. Because He did not need us, and yet He gave us everything and gives us the breath that we are breathing now. But I also want us to go to Ephesians 2. It seems like we preach on this a lot, but I learn every time. It's amazing every time how many times I've turned to a piece of Scripture that the Holy Spirit opens my eyes and allows me to see something new, even on pieces of Scripture that I know I've read several times over. Just because He can. Just because He has the ability to do so. Here, man, I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to open your eyes to my truth today. It's like, praise the Lord. Why don't we start at the beginning of chapter 2? Because it leads into what we're talking about. You were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work, the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out our desires of the body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Take a deep swallow, because that was us. But, praise the Lord for that. But God, being rich in mercy, not in things, not in possessions, not in money. He is, but rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us. Because of the great love of which He loved us. Who? Those dirty, rotten scoundrels that we just read about. Not well-deserving people. Those dirty, rotten scoundrels of what we just read about is who He loved. And who He continues to love. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up. Raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We already have our eternal home. We'll get to be with the Lord Jesus. We'll get to be with the One who went to the cross and died for our sins. We'll see Him one day face to face. And we'll get to praise Him for eternity, all because He gave us His grace. Because He saved us. Because He called us. Because He gave us the ability to hear His Word. Called us at the same time. And we called on His name and received salvation. All those that call on His name shall never perish but have eternal life. It was all by His grace. Why? So that the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Towards all of us who are in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. This is not of your own doing. Because you could not save yourself, because you were spiritually dead, and a dead person can't save himself. He can't lift a finger to save himself. He can't go clear. He can't do anything. He's dead. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. No one may boast. No one's going to get to heaven and somebody say, "Jesus, sit down, Matt's here." That would never happen. No one's going to be able to boast. Not Pastor Dennis, not me, not you, not Paul, not Peter. No one is going to be able to boast and say, "Look what I did." Because I didn't do anything worth praise apart from Christ. They will be able to say, "Look at the one who saved you despite of yourself." For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Why should you put your trust in God? Because you and I and everyone else born into this world of sin are sinners by birth and by choice. We did nothing to deserve salvation. We would spit in His face if given the opportunity before we're being saved. Apart from Christ, we don't want Him to rule over us. We don't want anything to do with His Word. We're perfectly acceptable on our own. We'll just find a way and we'll get through this life somehow. The best people can do is be morally good people on their way to hell. And yet He sent His Son to die the death that we deserve and eternal punishment on the cross so that we can spend eternity and have eternal life with Him. No man born of man and woman has had the ability to do that. So you should not trust man. But God did send His Son to earth, born of the Virgin. And He grew up and He started His ministry and He went to the cross. And He died the death that we deserved. And 3 days later, He rose again. He is not dead. He is risen. And at an appointed time, that was accomplished 2,000 plus years ago. At an appointed time in Hawaii or Virginia or wherever the case may be, He said, "I'm applying this to you. I'm applying this to you. I'm applying this to you. Your children grew up. They're not saved." He applies it to them at a later date. Praying He applies it to my children. He's applied it to me and my wife. All because of His steadfast love. His mercy. His grace. That's why the Scripture says, "Trust not on your own understanding." But what? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank You so much that You have given us Your Word. And not only given us Your Word, You've given us insight to Your Word. What Your truth has said, what it says, what it always will say. Your Word, You've given us the ability to read it. You've given us the Holy Spirit to help us understand it and to point us back to Christ, the author of it. Lord, I pray that we will trust in the Lord. I pray that we will trust fully in You. I pray that we will trust You more. I pray that we will be the people described in Your Word that praises You all the day long, all of our life. Gives You thanksgiving, gives You praise.